from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Tuesday. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We have a great show in store for you all. Of course, this week is filled with a ton of NCAA men's basketball tourney talk, especially here in mid-Michigan, considering the fact that Michigan State will be competing in the Final Four this Saturday against the Duke Blue Devils. I'm actually just getting back from Spartan Stadium as Tom Izzo held his Final Four presser. I'll run down exactly what Tom Izzo had to say and give you our thoughts and predictions on the MSU and Duke matchup this weekend, and also interesting controversy surrounding where the Final Four is being held this year out in Indianapolis. We'll tell you why. Also, Derek Blaylock joins me on the show. He's an MSU senior who will be embarking on quite the journey. I'll give you a rundown of all of that and so much more, but as always, let's start this show like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, news from the world of high school hoops. Hope guard Cameron Reed announced that she has verbally committed to Western Michigan University. Now, Reed tore her ACL just 36 seconds into Holt's first game of the year. As a result, the junior sat out the entire season. Reed said the Broncos' offer never wavered through her recovery. How about that? She's a fantastic player. Can't wait to see her healthy. All right, the Detroit Pistons are in action as they host the Atlanta Hawks tonight at 7:30 p.m. The Pistons are near elimination from the playoffs, but the team can achieve its best winning percentage since the 2008 and 2009 year. The team needs to go 4-5 over the final nine games in order to finish with 32 wins. Let's not hold our breath, okay, folks? All right, the Detroit Red Wings, they host the Ottawa Senators tonight in a 7:30 p.m. matchup. The Senators are just 6 points behind Detroit for third place in the Atlantic Division. Goaltending has played a big role in the Wings' poor performance in March, but the team has just 9 points in its last 13 games. JV Justin Verlander will not start Thursday against the New York Yankees. The start was scheduled to be the right-hander's final start of the spring. Now, Verlander is still suffering from a right tricep cramp he suffered on Friday against the Blue Jays. Now, the team said it's possible Verlander could be in a minor league game over the weekend. A Las Vegas hotel owner is set to win, get this, $1 million if Michigan State wins the national championship this weekend. Now, the man, Derek Stevens, placed a $20,000 bet on the Spartans on December 5th of last year at 50-1 odds and is now just 2 points away from cashing it in. Stevens plans to watch the game at the sports bar in his hotel, it's called the D, and is inviting Spartan fans to come watch the game with him. How about that? He will be one lucky man if that happens. All right, the NFL has fined the Atlanta Hawks $350,000 and stripped the team of its fifth-round draft pick in the next year's draft for piping crowd noise while visiting teams were huddling last year. Now, the violation makes the Falcons the first team to lose a draft pick since 2013 when the New Orleans Saints were stripped of picks for the bounty scandal. All right, sports commentator Keith Olbermann, he made news on Monday as he called for the Final Four to be pulled from Indy due to the new Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was passed in Indiana. Now, the recently enacted act allows for businesses to reject customers on the basis of religious freedom. Olbermann is following in the footsteps of Charles Barkley, who made comments about the Final Four moving due to that very law over the weekend. All right, Cleveland Browns GM Ray Farmer has been suspended 4 games without pay by the NFL, and the team is fined him. Well, the team was fined, $250,000 after Farmer sent texts to coaches during games last year. Now, Farmer admitted to texting an unnamed assistant coach and a team representative on the sideline last year, an action that violates the NFL's electronic device policy. All right, when texting goes wrong, huh? Well, that wraps up your current sports quick and headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, start the show. Oh, boy. Well, I tell you what, folks. I am completely out of breath right now. I just jetted over here from Spartan Stadium as Tom Izzo held his Final Four presser. Many media members in attendance, as you can imagine. I always say, with success breeds attention. And, I mean, you had media members from down in Detroit, from Grand Rapids, Flint. I mean, everyone came out for this presser, and deservingly so. I mean, Michigan State gracing the Final Four, now for Tom Izzo's seventh time, the 18th straight tourney appearance for this squad, an incredible run, an improbable run that no one thought was possible during mid to late this year. Very interesting to see Tom Izzo take the podium. And again, I'm just getting over here, folks. I mean, Tom Izzo, the way he talks, he's probably still talking as we speak. Mark D'Antonio is also addressing the podium. Of course, spring football is taking place as well. So Mark D'Antonio, he was scheduled to take the podium around 12:45. When I left around 12:45, Tom Izzo was still talking. So I assume Mark D'Antonio is now taking the podium and is addressing the media as we speak. But a very interesting presser filled with a lot of jokes from Tom Izzo, a lot of smiles. He seems in high spirits, and of course he is. I mean, you're in the Final Four. You're one of the teams who is, you know, can call themselves one of the top four teams in college basketball. It's going to be a fun time down in Indianapolis as Michigan State takes on Duke to see if they can compete for a national championship. If they do, again, this will be Tom Izzo's third NCAA championship appearance. He's looking for his second national championship. So a very interesting presser. Just a few notes from that presser, folks. You know, it was very interesting how Izzo kind of hit on a variety of different subjects that stem from, you know, what to expect from Duke, to the intangibles of how this season has went all year, to even a Kevin Ollie reference. Of course, Kevin Ollie, the head coach of UConn, who, of course, stormed his team all the way to the national championship. What an incredible run. Of course, actually, UConn, the Huskies, knocked off of Michigan State on that run to that national title. An incredible run for a young coach in Kevin Ollie. And, you know, Tom Izzo, you know, he talked about how at the time he didn't like Kevin Ollie, of course, because his team lost to Kevin Ollie. And, you know, and he's grown to form, I guess, a relationship with Kevin over time. And he talked about how now, quote, he loves Kevin Ollie. I love Kevin Ollie. That's a direct quote from Tom Izzo. And it's really interesting to see how Tom sort of compared the journey that the Michigan State men's basketball team has taken to, of course, UConn's journey last year. I mean, UConn was a team that had a topsy-turvy year, you know, had some glaring losses throughout the season, up and down type of a year. And if you look at Michigan State this year, I mean, yeah, they had an up and down year to say the least. And, you know, he took a team that struggled in the middle of the season and made a championship run. And Tom went on to say, quote, maybe history can repeat itself. So I thought that was very, very cool. And, you know, going back to that win over Louisville on Sunday, it's very interesting the message that Tom Izzo had throughout that game, which he also talked about today, and how he just wanted 2 hours of his team's time. He talked about how, quote, those 2 hours of work is going to get you a lifetime of memories, end quote. How about that? I love that quote because, again, you know, just putting it into context of, hey, if you pull this game out for 2 hours, again, 40 minutes of basketball, you could have memories that will last a lifetime. That was a clear message for his team, and they certainly responded. Getting into the X's and O's here, of course, Duke has certainly been Michigan State's kryptonite. I should say Tom Izzo's kryptonite. Michigan State and Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo, his record against Duke is right now 1-8. Now, if you look at the Blue Devils, The Blue Devils finished second in the Atlantic Coast Conference with a 15-3 record in the conference. And this is Duke's first Final Four since 2010 when the Blue Devils won, of course, the entire enchilada. They won a national championship that year. Now, that season, Duke was also the number one seed in the South Regional and had to go through Houston. Freshman Tyus Jones was named the South Regional All-Tournament Team Most Outstanding Player. Freshman Justice Winslow joined Jones on the South Regional All-Tourney Team. This is a dangerous team, folks. Actually, Coach K is the winningest coach in the history of Division I basketball. Of course, getting over that 1,000 win mark this past year with a 1,016-310 record. Overall record in 40 seasons. That's a 76 win percentage, folks. That's unbelievable. Now, of course, again, when looking at the series history between Duke and Michigan State, Duke leads the all-time series against MSU 9-2 overall against Sparty, including a 6-2 advantage on a neutral court. Now, the last six meetings of this series and eight of the last nine have been all decided by 10 points or less. So it's not like the Spartans are getting blown out throughout these matchups here, folks. The Spartans' last win in the series was a 78-68 victory in the Sweet 16 of the 2005 NCAA tourney in Dallas, folks. So again, we're talking about, what, a 10-year span in which Michigan State has not beaten Duke. That's unbelievable. So, yeah, the Spartans are the clear underdogs in this matchup. And since that 2005 year, Duke has won four straight. They're 3-1 versus MSU in the NCAA tourney. The two teams met previously in the Final Four back in 1999. Of course, if you rewind the clock back then and rattle that memory of yours, Izzo's first Final Four was back in 1999 with Duke, of course, winning 68-62. So, certainly, the cards are stacked against the Spartans in this matchup. Duke, clearly, when it comes to history, they have a clear historical advantage. Duke, of course, being the number one team, you know, being ranked number one within this NCAA tourney, of course, that holds a lot of weight as well. Duke has had success when they are, when they have that target on their back, to be honest with you. I mean, you saw the record of Duke when they do have that number one ranking. It's pretty much flawless. Interesting matchups throughout this one. We look at the starting lineup of the Duke Blue Devils, folks. I mean, Jahil Okafor, Quinn Cook, Justice Winslow, Tyus Jones, and Matt Jones. You know, you got three freshmen out of that entire group. You got one senior in Quinn Cook, one sophomore in Matt Jones. It is going to be, first of all, it's been really remarkable to see how, you know, a guy like Jahil Okafor, who was a freshman, 6'11", 270, got a lot of girth to him, actually a player that Tom Izzo tried to recruit when he was in high school, and to see how this kid has really emerged into a star. I really think that, you know, Jahil Okafor is a player that his talents could proceed right into the NBA right now. He probably could have gone straight from high school to the NBA and had a little bit of success, to be honest with you all. He's averaging right now 17.5 points per game, 8 rebounds per game, 1 assist per game, and also almost 2 blocks per game as well. How about that? And then you look at Justice Winslow. He's 6'6", 225. This team has a lot of girth to him. And Michigan State's front court is going to have to bring it, just like they've been doing throughout this entire tourney. Guys like Brandon Dawson, Matt Costello, Gavin Schilling, so on and so forth. Justice Winslow is a guy who I think will be matched up with Brandon Dawson throughout this game. Again, Justice being a freshman, he's averaged 12.5 points per game, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, even defensively almost 2 steals per game as well. Very interesting matchup. Now, again, if you tune into Current Sports, yesterday we had the privilege of welcoming Ryan Slocum here on the show of ABC 12 out in Flint, Michigan. He gave his thoughts and predictions, and of course, both of us, I really think that Duke is going to pull out this game. But again, this team, if Michigan State ended up pulling out this game on Saturday night, would anybody be surprised? They've been defying the odds all year, throughout all of March. Very, very interesting. And, you know, Tom also talked in his presser about how Dawson, Trice, and Valentine, he has a lot of faith in those three. I mean, those being the quote-unquote big three for this team, they have showed up. Now, granted, there's been a few bumps in the road, specifically when you look at, you know, Denzel Valentine. I mean, there's been times when he's gotten into foul trouble early and had to make an impact on the game in the second half, much later than he would have wanted to. But at the end of the day, he's closed out and sealed the deal for this team. And he believes, Tom Izzo believes, that Dawson Trice and Valentine, quote, could play in a lot of teams in America. So he has a lot of faith in this core. A ton of faith in this core. And when you talk about legacy for Tom Izzo, that's pretty much what our theme was on yesterday's Current Sports. And it's what a lot of people have been talking about. You've heard the unbelievable stats when it comes to you know, the Tom Izzo in the NCAA tourney. You know, I rattled a few of them yesterday. I mean, he's 7-2 in the Elite Eight, 21-4 in the second game of an NCAA weekend. He has more Final Fours than first weekend exits in the NCAA tourney. Izzo coach teams now have a 13-9 record as the lower seeded team in the NCAA tourney, which is the best mark in tournament history. I mean, I could go on and on and on. His stats speak for themselves when it comes to March, but Tom Izzo, what makes him so great is that he is never satisfied. Never. And he talked about his legacy today. Now, of course, with him being in the midst and trying to prepare for a big matchup against Duke on Saturday, all of the legacy talk and all of that stuff, he said, hey, save that for when I do retire and leave the game. But when he does look back at that resume, he talked about how I'm not satisfied with just one championship. That's exactly what Tom Izzo said today. He is not satisfied with just one, folks. He says, quote, I want to be a part of the smaller fraternity. That speaks volumes. That quote alone speaks volumes because it shows that Tom Izzo is always striving for greatness. It's championship or bust with him every single year. Now, of course, realistic expectations breed themselves with each and every season because he even admitted he didn't think this team would be in the position that they currently are in. But at the same time, Tom Izzo is all about rings, folks, and he's all about winning. One of the most competitive, you know, individuals you ever meet in your life. So it was very interesting to see Tom Izzo go through matchups, go through his own legacy. He even talked about the ride from East Lansing to, of course, Indianapolis this weekend and what he expects from that. It was a thrilling presser, one with a lot of attention drawn onto it, and deservingly so. Of course, you know, anytime you make a Final Four, people want to hear what you have to say. I want to invite now, of course, engineer of WKRR's Current Sports, Alex Sharg, to the show. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's an exciting time in East Lansing, Al. And in regard to your question about Duke, I agree, man. The Winslow-Dawson matchup is so crucial. You have, you know, a freshman on Duke who is looking to prove himself, that is a great defender, versus a guy like Dawson who's a lot to handle down low with his strength. You saw him last game, the way he was able to put back and get on the boards. So that's a big matchup, and overall, I think that Michigan State is a different team compared to when they first played Duke earlier this season. I mean, Trice is now a tremendous playmaker. He was not making all those plays and not shooting the ball as much as he did when he first played Duke earlier on. I think it's going to be a lot closer than that 15-point or whatever it was, that lopsided victory Duke had, which even was a little bit closer compared to what the final score was. I think it's going to be a lot closer in the Final Four than it was earlier on.
Yeah, you know, and I'm very curious to see. I don't know if you've looked this up, Alex, or not. I haven't seen the line yet in Vegas as far as how many points Duke is favored. Do you know what the line is?
They're favored 5 early.
They're favored by 5 right now. Interesting. Well, they expect, and you know, look at the history between these teams. I mean, of course, Tom Izzo was 1-8 against Duke, but again, many of those games have been decided by 10 points or less. It is right. Going to be a close game.
I believe
it's be
Virginia
a
was favored by 5 when they first played Michigan State.
Possibly,
as well,
yeah, I think so. I think the line was around 5, something like that, 5.5, something like that. So it's going to be very interesting. And, you know, you talk about the matchup between Dawson and Winslow. Another guy, of course, to look out for is, as I mentioned, you know, Jahil Okafor. I mean, this freshman has been incredible. He's 6'11". He's 270 pounds. My goodness, 30 pounds away from 300? I mean, he's a big kid, man. And Tom went on to say, quote, there's so many pluses with Jahil Okafor. He's a very sophisticated defense we're going to have to play against him. When they throw it down there, we are going to have to just pray. How about that? I mean, it's really tough to come up with a defensive scheme against a player with the mass of Jahil Okafor, who's so polished, who's young, he's athletic, and also a player, you know, which, you know, to go back to the tie here, Tom Izzo, I mean, I remember us talking here on Current Sports about how Tom Izzo was really hoping that Jahil Okafor would sign with Michigan State. Of course, he went to Duke, but I mean, that's also another guy to watch out for because Jahil Okafor can beat you in so many ways, Alex.
Right, and the thing about Jahil Okafor is his presence and his size And if you have Gavin Schilling and Costello following out just like last game, albeit they did handle Harrell in the Louisville Bigs, but Okafor is another animal. And if you follow out with Costello and Schilling, it's not easy enough, and I don't think at least, to put Clark in and say, okay, just box him out and get some boards. This is a different kind of player.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, folks. And our phone lines are open all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in, give your thoughts on anything that we're discussing here on the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So, Alex, is it too early for you to give me a prediction here? Do you want to let it marinate for a few more days?
Yeah, I need to marinate, man. How about you? Are you ready to make a prediction?
Well, I've already did. I already said I think Michigan State will lose on Saturday. Okay, I said that yesterday when Ryan gave his prediction as well.
Right, okay.
So, but again, if Duke ends up losing that game, I will not be surprised, because look at how this – I call them the improbables. I mean, they have gone against the odds all tourney long. Anytime this team loves being the underdog. They thrive off of that. If Michigan State pulls out that win on Saturday, I would not be surprised.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, in a first glance, I want to take Duke, but there's a lot to look for in this matchup. I think you need to, now that there are only four teams compared to 64, you can really delve into the statistics, the stats, the matchups, and other stuff. So,
yeah, definitely. All right, folks. Well, let's transition now here. I thought it was very interesting how, I don't know if you saw this, Alex, but I actually caught an episode of Keith Olbermann's show late last night, actually. It was on late. They ran a repeat of Monday's show. And if you haven't heard, sports commentator Keith Olbermann, who has been with ESPN since the 90s, folks, he made news Monday as he called for the Final Four to be pulled from Indianapolis due to the new Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was passed in Indiana. Now, I've also been following that story as well. And the recently enacted law allows for businesses to reject customers on the basis of religious freedom. So if they don't agree with what religion you are or what sexual orientation you are, according to the Freedom Restoration Act, they can turn you away. And it's getting so much press. I mean, all over CNN, all over Fox News. I mean, you can't pick up a newspaper without seeing this story. Olbermann has followed in the footsteps of Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley also made his voice be heard on this. He made comments about the Final Four also moving due to the law over the weekend. Very interesting dynamic here, because, again, this story is getting a lot of press. It's an act that, me personally, I don't agree with. Even hearing this story about how it got passed was really shocking news to me. But at the end of the day, I think it's just really too late. You know, it's too late. I mean, you talk about this weekend, nothing can really be done to change where the Final Four is going this year. But I think if this law stays intact, I mean, I don't know if Indy can really vie for a bid in the future.
If the Buffalo Bills can change the place of their game days before in Detroit, if they can move from Buffalo to Detroit, I think they can move a Final Four.
Alex, that's a totally different stage than the NCAA Final Four.
That's a good point, too.
Come on, that's a regular season game.
The good thing, though, about the Final Four is you don't have teams that far away now that Gonzaga's out. Most of the teams are within, you know, a couple states radius, aside maybe from Duke. I mean, you have Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Michigan State, Kentucky, all in that Midwest, you know, central region of the United States. You do have Duke in North Carolina, but again, the ride from Kentucky to North Carolina isn't too far. So
right.
You have this region where everyone is kind of segregated, in one region. But I agree with you. I mean, there's hotel arrangements, there's so forth, but... But before you comment more, I mean, just as a start, it's important to realize why it's in Indy in the first place. One, the tax breaks. You know, initially, a lot of businesses give a lot of breaks. The city of Indianapolis gives a lot of breaks to businesses and to nonprofits for tax reasons. I mean, and I know that when the NCAA first made their agreement for Indianapolis, they said that, okay, we'll let you have the headquarters here in Indianapolis, but you need to have the Final Four once out of every 5 years in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Along with that, along with hosting the Final Four here, there needs to be a little bit more incentive. So that is part of the reason why the NCAA gets basically no taxes in Indianapolis, and that's why they're originally hosted there. The second, which I didn't know this, according to Joanne Gerstner, who's a big professor of journalism here mm-hmm. at Michigan State.
Also ESPN contributor,
New York Times. Right. Yeah. I mean, she said that the Final Four in Indianapolis, they have the best hotel accommodations for a large amount of people. I mean, there are more hotels per square mile than most cities. So that's also a startling statistic into why it's hosted there. But I agree. When it comes to this religious freedom law and the fact of business being turned down based on your religion, that puts a lot of thought into it. And that goes back to some of the other big things we've seen in athletics this year. The hands up thing. I mean, we've seen a lot of different...
You've seen politics collide with sports a
right.
lot.
We've seen a lot of moving and shaking.
Yeah, certainly. Without a doubt. Now, do I agree with Charles and Keith? Yes, certainly. But I just think it's just too late now. I mean, you're talking about now, what, 4 days? 4 days we're talking about here, and the Final Four is going to begin. There's so much planning that's gone into it now. When it comes to future references for Indianapolis, if this act is still intact, then of course you could probably backtrack and say, all right, let's think about other locations here. But I definitely see where you're coming from. I just think it's a little too late for an event of this
right.
magnitude.
It would be
and
one
just think
thing.
Of how, yeah, just think ahead. About how perturbed, you know, Tom Izzo, Coach K, and all those guys would be if it was just pulled. That'd be unbelievable. That would be an unbelievable story.
Right.
It would never happen. Never.
That's
let's
thing.
Be realistic here. It would never happen.
And also, I think it would only be noticed or it would only be a problem if something in the NCAA tournament happened at Lucas Oil Stadium regarding business and rejection on religion. I think it's only relevant if, let's say, you know, Joe Schmo walks into Lucas Oil Stadium. He's Catholic, and they don't give him a hot dog because he's Catholic. I mean, if
or
that
even the
is
surrounding
that,
businesses in India. I
right,
mean,
right,
what
right,
about
right,
the
right.
bars and the restaurants?
If something
around
like it. That happens at the NCAA tournament, then I think it's an issue.
I
but
really
right
hope
now,
it doesn't. Yeah,
it doesn't seem like it will be.
So, a question to you is, which you have yet to answer: do you agree that the Final Four should not be in Indy this year?
I don't agree, just because of the time. I mean,
right.
I kind of agree back to what you're saying.
What about the logistics of it, though? I mean, if they let's say they did have time to pull out and possibly change the location,
yeah,
do you think they should have?
I think they should, man.
I agree. I definitely agree. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, folks, I told you about my journey over here from Spartan Stadium to the Communication Arts and Sciences Building, of course, where we do and you know where I host WKR's Current Sports. This is the Current Sports Hub. And I told you how I was out of breath. Well, I tell you what, that little trip has nothing on the guest we're about to invite after this first break, folks. His name is Derek Blaylock, and he's an MSU senior who's about to do something that, man, will already have you reaching for that jug of water, okay? We'll hit our first break of Current Sports. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, on this beautiful Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. Hopefully, you all are having a fantastic start to your work week, school week, whatever week it may be for you. Hopefully, you're having a good one, folks. Again, I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow night at 6 p.m. I'll have the pleasure of sitting down with the Director of Communications for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. His name is John R. Johnson, and I tell you what, he is one busy man, especially throughout these past 2 weeks, sort of coordinating everything that went down at the Breslin Center with all of the high school girls and boys state championship tourneys. It was a fun time being down there, ran into John. Also, John and I, we hosted a really cool session centered on how in the world do you cover high school sports as a media member. Especially right here in Michigan. We were at the Michigan Association of Broadcasters Conference. It was a fun time out there, and that's when John and I actually got a chance to meet in person. We've always communicated via email, and now I have the privilege of welcoming him on Current Sports TV tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Again, we'll have a live studio audience. If you want to come and join us on that show, again, all you got to do is pop open that laptop or computer or even cell phone or iPad device and go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. It should be a great time. Well, without further ado, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. And man, oh man, this is going to be quite the journey, folks. His name is Derek Blaylock. He's an MSU senior who will actually be biking from East Lansing to Indianapolis, Indiana, of course, where the Final Four is being held this weekend, to raise money for a pretty cool cause. He's right here in studio with me right now. Derek, my man, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Al.
I appreciate you coming. Now, first off, I want to talk about this incredible journey you are about to embark on, because I think journey is really the only word I can use to describe this, because that's going to be a long trip, by bike at least. Now, Derek, how in the world did this idea spark into your head and say, hey, you know, why don't I bike from East Lansing to Indy? I think that'd be pretty cool. How did that come about?
Well, this summer I'm actually biking from the East Coast to the West Coast and actually back.
This summer you are?
Yep, I am 6,500 miles. I'm doing it for a friend's charity who passed away my senior year of high school. He died of undiagnosed enlarged heart. And there was something always kind of telling me, like, I should do something more. Like, when he first passed, like, I definitely, we raised about $10,000 for his charity and stuff. But, the next summer, it honestly came to me, I was watching Forrest Gump one time, honestly, and he's running back and forth the country, and I was just like, man, that'd be sweet to see the country that way. And so I started looking into bike trips, and I kind of wanted to do my own route for my own charity and stuff. But this Indianapolis one, Sunday night after we won, I was headed over to a restaurant nearby with some friends, and we knew we were going to the Final Four as a group. I was like, 250 miles, like, I could do that, actually. I could bike that. Like, I don't have anything going on the rest of the week for my classes and stuff.
There you go.
So I just started planning the logistics in my head, and I was like, this is so doable. And not only that, but it's a perfect springboard for the summer, not only for the publicity and awareness that I need to kind of help my fundraising causes, but to prepare overnight trip, my first. Haven't done it before, so I'm excited to get started, and I'm leaving tomorrow, and should be there by Friday night or Saturday morning, so I'm excited.
Now, I'm out of breath even just thinking about that trip, Derek. Now, for you, now going back, of course, to this journey, when you talk about biking, I mean, what's your history with biking? I mean, what's the longest you've ever rode a bike?
Before this, honestly, cross campus, I've never been a huge biker, honestly.
So you've never had an extensive trip on a bike before. This will be your first.
This one. Well, the last couple of months I've been training and stuff. I mean, last week I just did 50 miles. So, like, I've been biking extensive distances since December. But before that, yeah, I was biking across the MSU campus, and that was basically it. So
that is unbelievable, Derek. Now I want to dive into, of course, that training and preparation for this journey you're about to, of course, endure. What's the training like? I mean, when you came up with this idea, of course, just recently, right? On Sunday, you came up with this idea, right?
Yeah, for Indy. Yeah, it was a spur of the moment. Then Monday night, I sent it out, and it was crazy, the receptive feedback I got. Everyone was so supportive and willing to help me out. I mean, you reached out, so it kind of snowballed, and I just can't believe my phone was blown up yesterday, and it was just a crazy feeling, honestly.
Now, the training for this, did you reach out to any professional trainer, or did you kind of come up with your own workout regimen? And if so, what is your training? What has your training been for the past 2 days leading up to this moment tomorrow?
Well, for my training for this trip, I've kind of just piggybacked off my training for this summer, basically. So I haven't been, like, doing anything special for this trip. I mean, I've been biking, not every day, but nearly every day. So the training specifically for this trip, I mean, there's not much to it.
Just bike, huh?
Yeah, basically. And, that's one thing I just gotta keep motivated about. I always just say to myself, like, just keep going, basically. And, I don't know what else to say, basically.
What kind of bike is it? I'm curious.
It's a Trek, 1.2 series, hopefully it'll last me the whole way. It's about $1,000 bike, so it's not like
wow.
It's not even the most expensive bike out there. But
are you saying $1,000 is not that expensive for a bike? Maybe I haven't ridden
like
a bike in a while.
They're like bikes for like $3,000 and $4,000. I'm just like,
okay. We got Isaac Constance, also engineering current sports today. Isaac, how much is a bike? When you had a bike when you were growing up, do you know how much a bike is?
Well, I actually do some cycling myself.
You do? Wow.
Yeah, mine's like I got my 900 for a racing bike.
Yeah. What world have I been living in? I had no idea bikes are that much. My goodness. So yours is $1,000,
yeah.
Derek.
Yeah, and when I first planned this, like, 3 years ago when I was out, when I first came up with the idea, I was like, I was thinking about getting, like, a more expensive bike, but as I got closer, I was, like, trying to cut the expenses, and I'm like, I can do this. Like, obviously, I'm going to have to, like, change the gears and the tires most of the time, but...
Wow.
It's just, yeah, I've been trying to, like, cut costs, and actually, my kindergarten teacher's husband owns a bike shop.
Okay.
So he hooked me up with some good deals. And
so $1,000 is actually a discounted deal.
It was like $900. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It was like probably $1,200 bike or something. So
wow, that is very remarkable. Yeah. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are speaking with Derek Blaylock. He's an MSU senior who will bike from East Lansing to the Final Four out in Indianapolis, Indiana, to raise money for a fantastic cause. Now, I want to dive into that cause right now, Derek. Of course, it's called the Thomas Smith Memorial Foundation, a charity that funds heart screenings for youth athletes. How did you get involved with that?
Well, I actually knew Thomas eighth grade through until he passed, and we were really close. His family and my family, my mom owned a catering business and some restaurants, so they always helped us out a ton. And Thomas and his dad and his brother actually took me on my first hunting trip. So there's that. And so I got involved with it because senior year, he passed away January 29th, I believe.
And how did that happen? Kind of take me through that, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll start you from Friday. We were a big rivalry basketball game, Powers, Flushing, at Powers, and I went to Flushing. So it was a big rivalry game, and he was just there going crazy. He was a
basketball game?
Yep.
Okay.
He was there. We were all cheering and stuff, and he was just... His personality was off the charts. It was so fun to be around him and stuff. And so it was a great time that night. Then the next day, he came home, and he wasn't feeling that good, I guess. His heart was racing, and his parents actually just told him, you know, just relax, just calm down, and maybe take a shower, kind of like relieve some stress. And he was in the shower, fell. They heard a thump, and he passed. And when I found out, I was actually in my room just scrolling through Facebook and stuff, and all of a sudden I see dozens and dozens of things saying, RIP Tommy, I can't believe you're gone. And I honestly thought it was a joke, like some crazy joke. Like, I didn't think it was serious. Then I think I saw a post from his brother Jacob, and that's when it hit. I was just, what? Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, just a day after he's cheering for our team and stuff, he's gone. So I go down and I'm like, Mom, I think Tommy just died. And she was like, what? No. I was like, yeah, Jacob, I think, just posted something. And so the next day, it was really quick. I organized like a t-shirt, and I think we sold about 500 of those, raised quality money for that. I think that was strictly for his like gravestone stuff. Then we still wanted to do a little more, so we did. My family kind of helped organize a spaghetti charity dinner, and for that we raised about $7,000.
Wow!
But ever since then, there's always just something a little more I wanted to do, like something more I could do. So I thought of this idea, and I was like, perfect opportunity. I didn't apply for any internships after my senior year, so I was like, I'm gonna do this. I'm committing myself. I don't care if people who were doubting me, because there were doubters early on. When I told a couple people, they were like, well, we'll believe it when we see it. And I was like, all right, well, you're seeing it right now. So
wow,
I'm excited.
Hats off to you, Derek.
Thank you.
I mean, that is an unbelievable story, and I'm sure many people out there listening are becoming inspired by your willingness to, of course, honor your friend, again, Thomas Smith, in this particular way. Now, this foundation, I mean, what is your connection to it? How did it get started? Who's the founder of it?
The founder is his parents and his brother.
Okay.
They do most of it. I haven't really worked with them very much, just because, I mean, college and...
You're a busy man.
Yeah, it's work. I mean, I've been struggling to schedule all the things for just this trip, because work, school, I'm assisting the East Lansing High School baseball team, so that my schedule is just jam-packed. So I'm just like, all right. So I haven't really had the time, so that's another reason I wanted to do this trip, to kind of help them out. And so they're the founders, yeah. His mom, Mary, John, father, and brother, Jacob. I think I was just reading today. They've saved about 17 lives who, through their heart screenings, have found heart defects and stuff. So they've saved about 17 kids' lives and stuff, basically. And
wow.
I think given about $3 million worth of free heart screenings as well throughout the Flint area and Michigan as well. So
that is fantastic. So, I mean, this issue, of course, you know, Tom has passed away, sadly, due to an over-enlarged heart.
Yep.
How common is that problem?
Absolutely. Well, roughly like 2,000 kids under 25 each year pass away, under 25. And
2,000 kids?
Yeah, in America. And, I mean, what's his name? Isaiah, he was a basketball player from Baylor. Mm-hmm. He was first-round pick. And,
yeah.
He had to retire because they found a defect in his heart.
We actually saw him on the sidelines during the tourney. I guess he has still some affiliation. The NBA honored him as an honorary draft pick.
Yep, absolutely. I think he's doing some kind of like consultant work or something with the NBA.
Right.
But not only that, but Ronnie Turioff, I think, had a bypass surgery or something in 07. And I know he had a charity for a little while, kind of the same cause. So, I mean, it's definitely no, like, cancer, like, the most popular charity, but it does still need help because not only 17 may sound like a small number, but you have to think about all the people they impact and, like, all the people Thomas impacted. That's not just the high school. That's the community. That's the Flint area. That's thousands of people one kid had an impact on. And if you do it like that, 17 kids... they have an impact on a lot of people. So
that is certainly true. Folks, again, we are speaking with Derek Blaylock, MSU senior, who will bike from East Lansing to Indianapolis, Indiana, to raise money for the Thomas Smith Memorial Foundation. Now, of course, this is a pretty cool connection with the MSU men's basketball team. Of course, you're biking to Indy. That's where the Final Four is going to be held, MSU and Duke, Saturday night. Have you reached out to Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team? And have you heard anything, what they have to say about it?
I tweeted at the basketball team once, but I haven't heard back yet. But I have reached out to the alumni director, Scott Westerman. He retweeted and stuff, and he said he would keep pushing it via his channels. So I still have some work to do today. I have a lot of work tomorrow, so it's still going to be busy. Can't think about biking yet, but
And you being a student, Derek, I mean, you're a senior here at Michigan State. I assume this is your first Final Four celebration as a student, right?
Yeah, and I didn't think it was going to come this year, honestly. And,
who did, right?
Yeah.
If they say they did, again, you're lying. I didn't think they were going.
I had them in my Final Four, but that was just because I was like, all right, if they get past Virginia, they're going. But I didn't know if they would get past Virginia. So I was like, once they did, I was like, uh-oh, dangerous.
Right. Now, you being a student here on campus, to kind of shift gears here really quickly, of course, we've had conversations here on Current Sports about the way in which students celebrate around this time of the year. Of course, whenever I remember being a student, of course, I graduated out in 2012. When Michigan State went to their last Final Four in 2010, me being a junior at the time here at Michigan State, I mean, it was one of the most memorable parts of my college career. I remember going down to Cedar Fest and looking at the madness that ensued. Of course, it wasn't too crazy this past weekend. I mean, a backpack was set on fire and then it was dispersed pretty quickly, about 10 or so people getting arrested. You as a student have found another way to sort of not only tie this to a charitable foundation and you know, do this for a good cause, but you found another way of celebrating something really special when it comes to this men's basketball team. How did you celebrate this past weekend, Derek?
I was with my friends on Friday. We were just at their place, but I'll tell you, we were going crazy. We were absolutely going crazy. And Sunday, we were at the same place, and 10 seconds left, I think, when we were starting to ice the game with some free throws.
Right.
We saw across the way in the apartment complex, people just throwing chairs. I'm just like...
Throwing chairs.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, I don't want to, like, ruin my own furniture. I don't have much money to begin with, so, like, I don't want to have to go buy a new chair. Like, come on. Like, I do think it's kind of like the bagels, just like...
Yeah, a lot of trash is being thrown, I saw.
And for this year, obviously, it's not even compared to 09 or 10 or even after last year's Big Ten championship game. So, like, I think we definitely kind of calmed down a little bit, and I was glad to see there weren't as many fires. But honestly, I'm not encouraging this at all, but if bagels is as big as it gets, that's fine, you know?
That's fine, right? And if that's like the ceiling of celebration this year, hey, we can live with that. We've seen far worse things here in East Lansing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I reached out to a kid I know who's in Colorado where I worked last year, and I was like, hey, man, if we win at all, I expect you go up on the mountain, throw a couple bagels off. So
what is up with bagels? Where did that come from?
I have no clue. I heard from a couple people, some guy just dropped it off. And I was like, he was like, just start throwing. I was like, who does that?
I have no idea. But only here on the campus of Michigan State University, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I want to talk about now how people can get involved with this unbelievable, again, journey that you're about to embark on. The Thomas Smith Memorial Foundation, again, a charity that funds heart screenings for youth athletes. Derek, if people are out there listening right now and want to say, hey, this is a fantastic cause, if they want to see a takeoff on Wednesday on this unbelievable ride, how can they just get involved and support you?
Yeah, definitely. I have a website, Facebook and Twitter. My website is bikefortommysheart.com, and Facebook is the same, bike for the number four for the Facebook. And the Twitter, you can the handle is Biking for Tommy. And the hashtag I'm using for this week is Final Four by Bike. So you can donate on our website. Anything helps. As little as $1, honestly, that's all we need. Just $1 at a time, that's fine. So you can go on our website. We also have a GoFundMe account as well. So there's a couple of different ways you can do that and support the cause.
There you have that. And we'll also, of course, post the links to those different avenues on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. So, Derek, you're biking by day and you're pitching a tent by night, right?
Yep. And I'm also going to reach out to some alumni. So hopefully a couple will reach out to me. I'm going to reach out to a couple higher-ups and stuff to hopefully get a house at least one night so I can maybe take a shower.
There you go, right? You'll need it, right?
Yeah, I have a coworker. I was like, yeah, so can I sit by you at the game? Because I'm the only one in my friend group who has one. And she was like, yeah. I was like, all right, well, I'll make sure I'll try to take a shower on like Saturday morning. She was like, all right, if you don't, find somewhere else to sit. I was like, all right,
there you go. Fair enough, right? Yeah. we can't have you stinking to join up, right, Derek?
No,
but who cares? I mean, for a foundation like this, hey, you could stink to join up if you want to.
Absolutely, why not?
Exactly. So you'll be carrying a tent on your back in a backpack or something, or how's that going to go?
I have two bike racks on the front and back, and the tent is actually the size of a little more than a soup can, so it's very lightweight, pretty warm. I also have like a small sleeping bag.
What about food?
Yeah, I'm bringing some food. I'm probably going to get that either tonight or tomorrow.
Wow, so the bike can carry all of that?
Yeah.
For a three-day trip, it can carry food on it too. Wow.
I mean,
or are you going to stop at McDonald's? Or
during the night, I'm definitely going to get something better to eat, honestly. But
gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to have too much weight on it, but I have Camelback for water and stuff, and all my tools. So there's not a lot I need to bring, because I'm giving my friends a bag to take with them with clothes and stuff. So that's one less thing I had to take. But
right,
yeah. So
gotta love that. Well, Derek, it's been a pleasure having you on today's Current Sports. Again, Derek Blaylock, MSU senior, who will bike from East Lansing to the Final Four out in Indianapolis, Indiana. You got tickets, right?
Yes, I do.
You just talked about sitting there.
$40 bucks student tickets. Couldn't be this.
You got lucky then.
I know.
Wow.
I sold out in like 5 minutes. I was struggling too. I kept entering the wrong password. I was like, no, please let me get it. So I did. And
you sound like Isaac too. Isaac, the same way. He was pretty fortunate. Right, Isaac? You were on the website.
There we go. Like
2 minutes in and you got the tickets. That's pretty fantastic. So enjoy the game.
Thank you. You definitely deserve it.
I really hope this message spread. I'm pretty sure Tom Izzo will get word of this.
And I really hope he reaches out to you. Hopefully. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Derek. It's been a pleasure. All right, folks. Again, Derek Blaylock, MSU senior, who will bike from East Lansing to Indianapolis, Indiana, to raise money for the Thomas Smith Memorial Foundation, a charity that funds heart screenings for youth athletes. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll have Top 5 Tuesday for you and list the top 5 reasons why MSU shouldn't be in the Final Four. We all know they shouldn't be here, right, folks? I tell you, they're the improbables. We'll give you that list. It's going to be a very fun and interesting one, to say the least, and also talk about a few interesting stories concerning the NFL. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, here on this Tuesday, March 31st. Hope you're having a great day. If you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, man, you just missed a doozy of an interview. I just finished talking with Derek Blaylock, who is a student here at Michigan State University. He's actually in his senior year, and he had decided to do one pretty cool and enduring challenge to honor a friend of his named Thomas Smith, who passed away due to an enlarged heart. And he has decided to also in doing this, I mean, he decided to, of course, celebrate the tourney run that the MSU men's basketball team has had, of course, in the Final Four. So Derek, of course, biking from East Lansing to Indianapolis to raise money for the Thomas Smith Memorial Foundation. That is fantastic stuff here, folks. All right, well, we got about 8 minutes left in the show. We'll still be taking your calls, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKER with, again, just about 8 minutes left here in the show. Each and every Tuesday here on the show, we love to bring you Top 5 Tuesday, where we list a pretty interesting and intriguing Top 5 sporting topic. And we thought it would be kind of cool, of course. We're speaking all things tourney throughout this week here on Current Sports this week. And with MSU going to the Final Four, that's all anyone wants to talk about. But I tell you what, again, admit it, folks, you didn't think that MSU would be here. I mean, looking at the season that this team has had, up and down, topsy-turvy, no one thought they'll be here. So we're going to list the top five reasons why MSU shouldn't be here. Here we go. Time for Top 5 Tuesday. All right, folks, yes, you know that music. Time for Top 5 Tuesday, where each and every Tuesday we bring to you a Top 5 sporting topic, whether it be the top 5 point guards of all time, top 5 MSU football games throughout the season. But today is centered on, of course, the MSU men's basketball team. It is so remarkable. And, of course, I went to the Tom Izzo Final Four presser this morning. We'll also be going to practice later on this afternoon around, I believe, about 4 or 5 o'clock is when Michigan State will be wrapping up its practice, and of course all the players will be available for interviews. I'll be out there covering that. Everyone was talking about Final Four, and of course, you know, with everything that's gone this year for Michigan State, no one really thought that Michigan State would be here. So why don't we tell you why no one thought, you know, this team would be here in this position? The top five reasons why MSU shouldn't be here, folks. First off, you know, it's very interesting because one of the, you know, media members in today's presser brought up an interesting statistic. Of course, you got Kentucky, Wisconsin, Duke, and Michigan State all competing in the Final Four this weekend out at Lucas Oil Stadium. And when, you know, when you look at it, you know, again, another media member pointed out today that if you were to combine the losses that Duke, Kentucky, and Wisconsin all had, you'll rack up about, what, 7? Now, if you look at Michigan State, folks, you know, my number 5 reason here is that they had 11 losses on the year. I mean, 11 losses on the season. Now, of course, you know, they hit the magic number of 20 and were able to really solidify a spot in this year's NCAA tourney. But, you know, a glaring quote that has really stood out to me throughout these past 2 weeks that I wanted to ask Izzo today was that, you know, Izzo talked about how right on the brink of the Sweet 16, he went on to say that, you know, he walked into the locker room after that game, you know, after making it to, you know, to the Elite Eight, and he said, hey, I want you to take your phones and shove them where the sun doesn't shine, because some of the people who adore you right now actually had you in the NIT. I love that. I absolutely love that. So, I mean, and, you know, I wanted to ask him the question, you know, how much weight does really public perception hold, you know, as a coach? And I would have loved to hear his answer. I probably asked him throughout that, you know, throughout the week if I run into him, maybe today, who knows. But, you know, 11 losses on the season, there's a reason why the public perception of Michigan State was so down this year. You know, and again, I went on the list, you know, the losses they had. Now, a few of these to, of course, formidable teams, starting with their very first loss of the year to, of course, the Duke Blue Devils, an 81-71 loss versus Duke. And then you move on, you know, Kansas, great team. Notre Dame, great team. But then Texas Southern, Maryland, a team that beat them in double overtime. Now, Maryland's a pretty solid team as well. They lost to Maryland twice this year. The second time was just a complete blowout. You know, Illinois, Minnesota. And, you know, looking at those losses, I mean, 11 on the season, folks, no one would have fathomed Final Four. And again, Tom Izzo admitted that. So 11 losses on the year, Michigan State in the Final Four, come on. The other reason, number four here for me has to be the Texas Southern loss. And it's so crazy because when looking at the perception of the Big Ten this year, a lot of people feel as though the Big Ten right now, you know, did not have a great year. And if you really look at the conference this year, Big Ten teams definitely beat up on one another, left and right. And when you look at the records, a lot of the records don't come out and really, you know, blow your mind. But at the same time, I think that the fact that now you got two Big Ten teams in the Final Four says a lot about the conference in itself, folks. Michigan State and Wisconsin, of course, two teams that met in the Big Ten Tourney Championship game in Chicago not too long ago, are now in the Final Four and could possibly play one another. Wouldn't that be something if we saw a Big Ten National Championship game, a rematch of the Big Ten Championship in Chicago? I mean, how crazy would that be? And it would speak volumes to where this team is. But, I mean, looking at Michigan State's schedule, I mean, they lost to Texas Southern. Everyone was hitting panic mode after that day. I remember I was actually out. Where was I during that Texas Southern game? I think I was covering some other MSU sport. I think it was, you know, well, it happened to be December. I can't remember what was going on. But, you know, Texas Southern, which they lost to in overtime, I remember the headline on ESPN saying, Sparty down. And everyone sort of just losing their mind saying, are you kidding me? So I got to put that Texas Southern loss on there because that was just a glaring loss. It was just like, oh, my goodness, this team can't go that deep. They'll be lucky if they make the tourney. Another reason happened to be, you know, if you look at this roster, I brought up this reason yesterday. Are there any NBA players on this roster? I don't know. I think Brandon Dawson is very athletic, very talented. I think, you know, Denzel Valentine, he's solid as well. You know, just looking at the big three here, Travis Trice, you know, he's got great instincts as a player. He's turned out to be a great scorer at the collegiate level. But there are no clear-cut NBA players on this team, folks. And, you know, when you look at across the board, you know, the other three competitors in the Final Four, I mean, you could pick like two or three on each roster for Kentucky. Pretty much the whole roster could go to the NBA right now. So that's another reason as well. Also, to close this thing out, the Matty Yang putback, which everyone thought was going in for Louisville. If Matty Yang makes that, no Final Four, folks. The basketball gods have certainly been on the side of the Michigan State men's basketball team. And, hey, I really hope they continue it, folks. Well, that wraps up our show for today. I want to give a big shout-out to Derek Blaylock, MSU senior, who, again, will be biking from East Lansing to Indy to raise money for the Thomas Smith Memorial Foundation. Thanks a lot, Derek, for joining me on the show. Thanks a lot to all of you for listening to today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.